USA Radio News.
We don't want to have a liberal Democrat in Alabama, believe me. We want strong borders. We want stopping crime. We want to have the things that we represent, and we certainly don't want to have a liberal Democrat that's controlled by Nancy Pelosi and controlled by Chuck Schumer. We don't want to have that for Alabama.
President Donald Trump today from the White House. As you can hear, the president believes Roy Moore will do very well in Alabama's runoff election next week. And the Creek Fire near Selmar, California, continues to grow at an alarming rate. Los Angeles County Fire Deputy Chief David Richardson has an update.
At this point in time, the fire's grown to over 4,000 acres, and it's still growing, as you can see with the wind gusts that are currently facing us here. You can only imagine the impact this weather is having on the flaming front.
More than 2,500 homes have been evacuated. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard us talking about MediShare on the radio or heard people saying how they're really thankful for MediShare, and you're like, okay, what exactly are you talking about? Hey, it's a great question. So here's what it is. MediShare is a nationwide community of Christians who share each other's medical costs. Here's why it's grown so much. MediShare costs about half what other healthcare programs cost. It's flexible, too, so you can pick a plan that fits your monthly budget, and you get to choose your own doctor from one of America's largest networks. Something else people really appreciate, you don't have to pay for procedures or prescriptions that go against your beliefs. And you know what the best part is? It works. And it's worked for more than 20 years. People who've experienced catastrophic health bills get their needs met. People pray for each other. MediShare is a nonprofit, faith-based ministry, and it could be a huge blessing to you. Here's how you can find out more. Call 833-39-BIBLE, now available in Montana. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
In a Capitol Hill briefing today, House Speaker Paul Ryan said he is confident that the Republican tax bills that have cleared the House and Senate will make history.
Doing something as monumental as tax reform, it is not easy. The forces of the status quo are clearly stacked against us. But guess what? We're doing it.
House Speaker Paul Ryan also called the tax reform long overdue. America's getting good marks for its high school graduation rate. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The Department of Education says over 84% of students graduated on time last year, the highest graduation rate since 2011, when the department started requiring schools to report graduation rates in a standardized way. All racial and ethnic groups saw their rates rise, but there were still gaps. 76% of black students and 79% of Latino students graduated on time, as compared to 88% of white students and 91% of Asian and Pacific Islander students. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
We're now hearing how much it would cost to beef up the military. USA Radio Network's Pentagon correspondent Lori Lewis has the details.
President Donald Trump's plan to increase the military's readiness, size, and capabilities would cost $683 billion more than current spending plans over the next decade. That's according to a new report from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. The $683 billion represents a 12% increase. The major costs of Trump's plan, according to the CBO, include a 10% manpower increase, a nearly 30% increase in the naval fleet, and increased spending on weapons and weapons research. Trump's plan to rebuild the military remains elusive, however, in the face of budget caps enacted by the 2011 Budget Control Act. The CBO report estimates that the buildup would exceed budget caps by $295 billion through 2021 when the caps expire. Congressional lawmakers are currently working to pass a federal budget for fiscal year 2018. Negotiations over the budget include debate over how much to raise budget caps for defense and non-defense spending.
A senior UN official is making a rare visit to North Korea today. The trip comes almost a week after North Korea test-fired a new intercontinental ballistic missile it says is capable of reaching the United States mainland. Former ambassador to the UN John Bolton says there isn't a whole lot of time to be messing around.
There isn't a lot of time to fool around here. There's not much of a margin of error if we're going to use military force. And if we don't, then you have a North Korea that can extort and blackmail the United States.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
The NYPD says it's working closely with the district attorney's office in New York in the investigation into claims that movie mogul Harvey Weinstein sexually assaulted several women in that area. NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce says he believes there are more victims out there.
We want everybody cooperating with us as we go forward in this case. I'm told by DA Vance and his top echelon that this case is going forward right now.
The criminal case revolves around actress Paz Laherta, who says Weinstein raped her twice in 2010, along with dozens of actresses who have accused Weinstein of abuse. NYPD brass says it's no small issue, and it's going to keep going forward with that case. The Supreme Court today taking up a case that pits freedom of religion and expression against marriage equality and protection from discrimination. The justices will hear oral arguments in the case of a Colorado baker who refused to create a cake for a gay wedding. Police in Tampa, Florida say they can't explain why a phony sign language interpreter was doing the signing when they announced the arrest of the Seminole Heights serial murder suspect. The mother of one of the victims is deaf and says she couldn't make sense of what the woman was signing at that November 28th news conference. She says the woman seemed to just be signing gibberish throughout that news conference. You can make sense out of the news by finding us online once in a while. We're at usaradio.com. And I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Sabía que...
It is 8:06. It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Flemington right now, wet and warm. I guess mild is the way you would put it, right? 46 degrees, overcast skies, 90% chance of precipitation today. Today is December 5th. It's Tuesday, 2017. Cloudy with rain developing this afternoon, a high of 60. Winds south at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 90%. Rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers overnight, a low of 38. Winds west-southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of rain 100%. Rainfall around a half an inch. Sunshine and clouds mixed tomorrow, a high near 45. Winds west at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy and 45 on Thursday. Sunshine and some clouds and a high of 39 on Friday. Sunshine and some clouds mixed on Saturday the 9th with a high of 41. Saturday, Sunday, sunshine and clouds mixed. A few flurries or snow showers are possible, a high of 37. Temperatures in the area, 46 in...
Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
HMC, or visit us on the web at www. The news is sponsored.
Action appears seamless. How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire processed food technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Joe Peters, and if that last commercial sounded a little bit like me, there's good reason for it. I am a realtor with Coldwell Banker. I cover all of Hunterdon and all of Somerset counties, live here in Clinton, and I work with Coldwell Banker in the Warren Watchung area. So pretty well versed in both counties, have been doing this for about going on 15 years, and I do a biweekly radio show on real estate, and this is it. And through some communication mix-up, I'm here by myself today. I thought I had a guest coming in, but apparently I had the wrong date down. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and recap for the listening audience the different aspects of buying and selling houses. We can sort of understand through my description where you might best fit and then what your challenges are in this market. And we'll sum it up with how the market is doing for all told, both in Hunterdon and Somerset County. So let me get started. Our most valuable buyer, because it makes several transactions happen, is our first-time buyer. And the first-time buyer today is somewhere in their 25 to 35 range, more even from the 30 to 35 range, definitely what you would consider a millennial. And they have distinct challenges. One is they just went through a hell of an economic 10 years, like all of us did, and to a great extent aren't earning what we were earning when we were their age, and secondly, have had a hard time establishing themselves in a job because there simply weren't any, and then making sure their credit's in good shape, and then lastly, putting enough money in the bank so they can get started. It's said that 88% of all millennials, once again 25 to 35, are the house buying age, believe in the American dream, which is that of buying a house, building up some equity, and starting their investment cycle with a home purchase. Well, that home purchase has gotten delayed, and it's gotten challenges because even though 88% of them are believing that this is the way to get started, only at least 80% of the 88% only have less than $5,000 accumulated. And it's going to be very difficult to do a new home purchase or a first-time buyer home purchase with that much savings. Let me take you through what they're witnessing. Hunterdon County has got some really great companies in it, but not enough to support a salary of which there's some, but not enough, as I said, a salary where you can go out and buy a first-time house. And let me tell you what a $50,000 salary will buy you. A $50,000 salary will allow you to afford to spend $1,250 a month on either rent or mortgage. And when I say mortgage, I'm including interest, principal, taxes, and homeowners association. Quite frankly, we don't have a lot for rent or sale for $1,250 in Hunterdon County. But I can tell you this, if somebody's thinking about renting something for $1,250, I can show them, as long as they've got a job and some credit built up and some money put away, how to buy it cheaper than that and start the investment cycle that we talked about a few minutes back. A lot of times we'll see people come in with we need about 6% down, 3% for down payment, 3% for closing. So let's say we're going to come in with a $200,000 purchase, typical first-time buyer, somewhere between 175 and 250. But let's use 200 because the numbers are easy. 6% is you need $12,000. Now, you may have accumulated that. You may have gotten a gift from mom and dad, which is perfectly legal, legitimate. you may want to go out and finance the closing cost, which is an expensive way to borrow money, but it gets you started because you're going to start getting that payback on your entire investment. But first-time buyers really need four things. They need, a job, and I maintain pushing carriages somewhere is not a job that's going to help you buy a first house. They need a substantial job. They need a job where not only is it taking advantage of their skills and education, but it's got a progression path either within the company they're with or in an industry that has high upward progressibility, such as IT. Secondly, they not only need to have a job, they need to be making sufficient amount of money in a job. Once again, $50,000 for every $1,250 you buy. Now, a lot of our first-time buyers are husband and wife, and they both earn roughly equal money, so they can afford a $2,500 monthly investment. And you say, where do you get the $1,250 from, Joe? It just seems so low. It seems low to me, too, and I'm in this business. The upfront rate on debt to income for mortgages is 30%. So if you took $50,000 and divide it by 12, and then you multiply that number times 30%, that's all the banks want you to have invested in your mortgage, and that's $1,250. So when two people are doing it, and they're both earning relatively the same amount of money, it could be $2,500, which is more reasonable because we can get into a nice $400,000 house for the $100,000 range in combined salary. So, A, you need a job, and B, the job needs to make sufficient income to support this 30% principal. Then there's a back-end proportion as well, which is somewhere in the low 40s, 43 being the highest, where you've got to add your school debt in, you've got to add your car payment in, you've got to add the Visa card in, you may have two. And that can total 43% of your gross. And as long as you're between that 30 on the front and 43 on the back and have a job and are making sufficient income, you're pretty good as far as the finances go. Then we take a look at the credit. And the credit is very important because we use something called FICO. And FICO, we've all heard of at this point in time, but an average FICO for a conventional is probably going to be 7.25 or higher. Average FICO for Hunterdon County is probably in about that same range, in the 730 range. So for the area, because we're pretty affluent, and the people here, we don't have a high degree of unemployment, have some, like every place in the world, are the FICO is easy to build up as long as you're paying your credit on time. You don't have a high proportion of debt to your open to buy. For instance, if you got a $10,000 line of credit, it should be paid off each month or be in sight of being paid off in a few months. But if you've got a $10,000 line of credit and you owe $9,000 on it, that's sort of a mark against you where you're getting a less of a FICO score because you've used up a lot of your open to buy. So that's one thing. Two is you've got to have paid your bills on time. So you've got indebtedness, including school debt, credit card debt, car payment debt. Those payments need to be made on time regularly. We should look back 24 months and see no missing payments, or maybe one with an excuse, got lost in the mail, never received a statement. But those are the things that help you keep your FICO score up. And then there's always the ability that you're managing your credit correctly. And the banks don't like to see people who are living off their credit cards. I've had borrowers come in with a lot of cash, better than $50,000, but were at 90-plus percent on their outstanding credit lines, and it looked like they were saving their money by living off of their credit card, and there's just no way that's going to happen. It's got to be down under the 43% mark. So we've got to understand the principles of how you qualify for a mortgage. So the first was a job. Second one is credit. The third one is some money. And I described that a little earlier, but let's go in a little bit more in debt. If you go out and put 3% down on a house, you can get into an FHA or a even a low-end conventional, 3-3.5%. Most of the time, they're looking for more money than that, but you can get started for that amount of money. If you do put that amount of money down, you're going to pay some private mortgage insurance. Once you get up to 20% or if you have extremely good credit and maybe 15% down, you can eliminate the private mortgage insurance, which is better than 1% a month. Tax deductible, but it's an expense. And that allows you to sort of gauge where you want to be. You then not only need to have 3-3.5-5% down, you also need to have money for closing, which includes an attorney. It includes a title search. It includes all the fees that are necessary, including inspection, including paying your attorney. I think I said that already. But it adds up fairly quickly. It's not a lot of money, but it's typically another 3% closing costs. So, three things: job, credit, money. You've got those three things, and you're reasonable. I don't care if your credit's all the way down into the mid-sixes. As long as you've got a good foundation and you're upwardly progressible in your job and solid in it, we can get you a mortgage. You may pay a little bit more in interest the lower your FICO is, and as a result, you'll be buying less for your money. So what we'd like to say is we use a round number of $5 a thousand for the money borrowed. So if you were to go out and borrow on a $200,000 house, $175,000, 5%, I can't multiply in my head. So let's say you borrowed $200,000, just to use a round number. You'd have about $1,000 a month in mortgage payments, and that would be interest and principal. You would then have to put into it the taxes, which are probably easily $500 a month. So now you're at $1,500. You may have, if you're buying a condo or a townhouse, a homeowners association, another $250 a month or maybe more. And that's where a lot of our first-time buyers start off at, is in community living. And on top of that, you need some insurance. So you're pretty quickly up to $1,800 a month on a $200,000 investment. But the good news is the more people do that, the better off our overall local economy does, because our overall local economy kicks off 3 or 4 sales. The first-time buyer buys from somebody who's selling theirs, and that's what we call a second-time buyer. And they'll sell them a house around $200 and buy something themselves in a $350. They'll take their equity and move up. And that person will do the same, and the next person may do the same. So it kicks off 3 or 4 consecutive purchases and sells over time. That helps the economy keep going. That's our first-time buyer. Let's talk about what the challenges are to our second-time buyers. Our second-time buyers need to coordinate selling their existing house and finding another one at the same time. Therein lies a paradox, or a parity anyway, in what do I do first? Do I list my house and see if I sold it and then scurry around and find one? Or do I find a house and then list mine? And there's no right answer, but the answer is, if you don't have your house on the market and you find something, you can't possibly list it and sell it in time for that house to be yours in today's market. And there's reasons for that. The market is moving so quick at the under 400 range in Hunterdon, and in Somerset it's more like the under 500 range because we get about 20% more, that you really have to have your house, because a person that's going to sell you their house isn't going to take a contract when yours isn't even on the market yet. And if it is on the market and you don't even have an offer yet, it's probably in that same bucket. They're not going to accept a home sale contingency. If it is on the market and you have an offer and you're out of attorney review and you're ready to start inspections, well, then they're more likely to say, I'll take that, but I'm going to leave mine on the market just in case, because a lot of those will fall through. Once you're out of inspection and that's settled, then it's a pretty solid lock. So The second-time buyer or the trade-up buyer, I call it the right-sizing buyer because in most cases they're moving up, but not always, has to balance the two things together and have not only a house that they want to buy, but they have to have a house that they want to sell, be on the market as well, or they're going to be caught in that no man's land where they can't make the transaction happen. So it's not an easy thing to do. I tell people we're going to be really fortunate if we can close on one house one day and the next house the other the next day, and you may have to live in a hotel overnight. That's probably the best it gets. Once in a while, we get them to close the same day, but since we usually close in the afternoon because things have to be FedExed in from the finance companies, it's usually two consecutive days. I've seen people be in hotels for 6 weeks or living with mom or put the furniture in storage. But that's where expertise comes in, and that's where I can be of a help to you. And as you move up the range, let's say you're the that's the second-time buyer. Let's say the third-time buyer. You're going to sell somebody something in the 3-4 range, and you're going to buy something in a 550 range. You have the same set of problems. You probably have more to pick from, so finding a house is not hard. Selling your house is not difficult, but most people choke at the fear of putting their house on a market and having a buyer and nothing to buy themselves. And if we could get the houses listed that the people are ready to sell, we could sell a lot more houses, make the economy go even better yet. I easily predict we could sell 2 to 3 times what we have today in the 200 to 400 market. But people are very reluctant to put their house on a market until they have a house that they're willing to go to. So the higher up you get, the more you get to choose from. But if you're going to try to sell a 3 and buy a 4, 450, it may be still tight because that's still a fast-moving market. Then you get the true right-sizing or downsizing. And there are the people in the 5s or 6s that may sell that third-time buyer his house, his or her house. And then they're going to not necessarily move up anymore. They're going to either move sideways or down. Now, sideways may be moving into a 55-plus community where most people are still working, but they don't want the outdoor maintenance, and they don't want the workload that comes with owning a house. Owning a house means cutting grass, shoveling snow, raking leaves, fixing things on the outside of the house. Granted, you can pay somebody to do that, but most people prefer to have a little bit of an activity or a challenge on a monthly basis and do it themselves. But what we're finding in our people getting into the 55 plus, and I are there, so I understand it really well. If you saw the gray hairs on my head, you'd say the guy knows what he's talking about. We're looking for a more maintenance-free life. It's more of a lifestyle change. The house size may be the same, but the responsibilities, such as all of that outdoor work, go away or change dramatically. And then in a lot of cases, we're looking, or the seniors are looking for single-floor living. Not that they need it today, but they can see the day coming. We're going up and down those stairs. It's going to be harder and harder. So they're looking for at least a first-floor master, an environment where they can work on the first, live on the first floor 100% and use the second floor as a guest bedroom, an office, a hobby area, and maybe have some storage in the garage or the basement. But more of a community effect, a 55 plus. In Hunterdon County, we have some 55 pluses. The ones that come to mind are the ones that are in 22, the Toll Brothers' building. It's a whole development in there, Regency, I believe it's called. They're in the 5-7 range. And then there's Flemington Fields. Flemington Fields have single one floors for the freeze, the low to mid freeze. And then they've got two floor units that have all first floor masters, which are standalones. And they're in the 4s. So we have a limited amount of 55-plus alternatives here in Hunterdon County. What we are witnessing is that as people get out of their 50s and into the 60s, and that are 65 plus and they're not working anymore, there's a proponency, I don't know what the right word is, there's more and more people moving out of the area. I mean, two-thirds of the moves from New Jersey, according to Allied Van Lines, for the last 2 years have been out versus in. And the out is, I don't have to stay here to live anymore because I don't have to work here anymore. My children are grown and gone, not even in the area. I only see them a couple of times a year anyway. So they wind up either going Pennsylvania, Delaware, Carolinas. It used to be Seinfeld said, when you're 65, you got to go to Florida. That's the rule. It sounds funny, but it's what people used to do. Today, they're not moving as far. And what we're noticing is that they may move down there for 10 to 12 to 15 years, but once one of the couple starts diminishing in health or capabilities or passes on, unfortunately, it's part of life, the other moves back, or they may both move back for the final years to be nearer to the children or back in the area that they grew up. So you've got that whole cycle. You got your first-time buyers. You got your trade-up buyers. It happens three or four cycles throughout a homeowner. You've got that right-sizing at the end where you're trying to get in something that's more of a lifestyle. And then you've got a situation where you may be in the right town and you may have the right square footage. It may be configured wrong. And I walk through people's houses every week and I say, when's the last time you sat in the living room? And the answer is anywhere from 10 to 20 years. I said, well, maybe the answer, rather than moving, is take a look at reconfiguring your current house and taking the living room and making a master bedroom suite, put an extra bathroom downstairs for it, and stay in a house that you love in the neighborhood that you like, where the kids grew up, and just live in the house differently than you're living in it today. And there's people that specialize in this, and there are some really interesting options. So, all of that said, what is happening in the market today? The market today in Hunterdon County is still a very active market, even for this time of the year. We are looking at my November newsletter, which is available at jpeters.com under market updates. I have one there for Hunterdon and one for Somerset. And it looks like for the period just ending, we sold, and that would be the month of October, 162 houses. And at the same time, we listed another 220. And we're selling houses at an average of $360,000, and we're listing them at an average of $460,000. And my people might say, well, how could you list the 22% higher than you're selling it? Because a house you're listing is not going to sell for 90 days. And in effect, it's being priced into the market. And some of those, that 20% additional, is going to come down in price reduction because people a lot of times are optimistic in the price that they list their house with. So you've got to take a look at it from a lot of angles. If you look at the three or four really popular areas to live in Hunterdon County, Clinton Township being one, Reddington, Raritan being two and three, you'll find that all of those are selling houses very quickly. Those are the areas where people want to live. But the further to the west you go, and the further you go up in price, no matter where you live, the less sales there are. We get very, very soft, over 700,000. Of the 162 houses sold, we sold 9 houses over 700,000. And that gives us quite a bit of inventory up in those higher ends. And then when you take a look at the towns to the west, where people don't want to go that far to the west anymore, Frenchtown, 15 months supply. It's taking 15 months to sell the average house. East Amwell to the south, 18 months supply. Franklin, never understood this. Franklin's just on the other side of Clinton, above Raritan Township, 30 months supply. We have 30 houses for sale, only one sold last month. But that may be an anomaly. It may straighten itself out next. Tewksbury, 12 months supply. West Amwell, 13 months supply. But in general, we have a 5-month supply. And 4 to 6 months are the average sales cycle. And when you're in the 4 to 6 months of supply number, you're in an area where prices aren't going up or going down. What's happening is when you get up to 7 or 8 months supply and inventory, in a given town or given a price point within a town, well, then you start to see challenges on the price. You start to see some markdowns. You start to see some low offers coming in under asking, and people aren't necessarily getting what they want. But if you get under the 4 months, you see just the opposite. And you see multiple offers coming in and houses selling above asking price. Good news. We're starting to see it again. So we're seeing an average of 5 months supply. Good news. 80% of all the sales are under 500,000, leaving us only 20% above. And of that, 6% of all, the entire total, only 6% or 9 sales in total were over $700,000. So the price you're going to get is based on the town you're in location-wise and the price point you're in regardless. Because if you're over 700,000, we're in a challenging market. It's not that there's no sales. It's that we have slow sales. And slow sales means it's going to take you longer to sell your house. It probably hasn't appreciated as much as the people that are under 400,000 have done. And it may be challenging to you. So let's take a look at what's driving that. One, interest rates. Interest rates are holding just under 4%. I think we're going to see this go on for another quarter or so, I think at least for the end of the year. And we probably only have 6 weeks left in the year. It's already the 22nd or so, 21st, I guess. But it's the 21st of November, 2017, for somebody who's listening to this in the future. 6 weeks left. We're probably going to come to a screeching halt as soon as it snow hits or right after the 1st of December. Thanksgiving hit early this year. So usually around the first snowstorm or the 1st of December, where people get their head into Christmas or the holiday season, depending on your persuasion, the market comes to a very lethargic crawl. And it crawls along until Super Bowl is over, usually the first or second week in February, and then it starts to pick up. Listings start coming back on. Buyers are back out. But I got to tell you, I'm seeing buyers. I've got 3 sets of buyers actively looking. I wouldn't be surprised if I write 3 contracts in the next week, which would all be January business. Takes about 8 weeks to close, just based on buyer activity. I'm not seeing a lot of seller activity, but I am seeing listings coming on constantly because the weather's remained warm and the interest is there. The job front is great. We're sitting at a 4.1% unemployment rate. And if you take a look at that compared to where we've been in the past, we're in pretty good shape. We're seeing in a lot of instances jobs come on a little slower than they came on for the last 2 years. We are adding jobs in New Jersey. But in effect, we're adding fewer jobs, but we're adding higher paying jobs, which is good news. The other thing we're seeing, minimal new construction. So we've got to sell what's there as existing construction, existing homes, pre-used homes. Very few new developments going up. The new construction we're seeing is in the onesies and twosies. A little cluster of 4 houses, but we're not seeing 50 houses here, 100 houses there. We are seeing that on the eastern side of Somerset, on the other side of 202, more towards the Somerset area itself, Franklin Township in Somerset, but we're not seeing it here. The good news is things always move from east to west, and it's headed in this direction, we believe. Foreclosures are still a problem. New Jersey is the number one state in the nation with foreclosures. It's because we are a judicial state, and it takes a long time, somewhere between 3 and 4 years from missing that third payment, which starts the process rolling, to the point where the bank finally takes it away from you. And a lot of people solve the problem in the first year with a short sale where they agree to take a hit on their credit, take a settlement on the house that's less than what they owe, and the bank agrees with it, and we sell it, and they move on. But if it goes into bank ownership, which is the foreclosure process, it's actually the auction at the end of the process, well, then it probably takes another year, and that's where the 3 to 4 years comes from a lot of time. So here's a recap. We have very high consumer confidence. The stock market's up. The job market is not as good as it was a year ago, but we're putting higher paying jobs up, so there's more discretionary income, which usually comes into the house buying. And there is a very strong confidence in the stock market. The stock market sitting at 23,600 today, it's had a good week so far, is bolstering. Those things together make people confident that we're going in the right direction. There's no reason not to think that. 80% of the consumers still think owning a house is the American dream. Yet we've dropped in home ownership from somewhere around 71% to down into the mid-60s. Millennials are 24% of our home ownership. It could be a lot bigger if we had enough houses to sell them. Analysts' five-year forecasts indicate annual growth of 4%. That's an annual growth in home prices. Central New Jersey's trend for 2016-17 showed a surge in home sales, but not prices. Clustered all in the under 500 market. In 2016, it's like a 1% price. We're probably going to see 5% in 2017. The under 600 market holds steady. I would say we start to get soft in the mid fives. And then it just gets worse and worse as you get into the sixes and sevens. And the biggest thing we're seeing up there is that the natural price for a house that on paper looks like it should sell for $550, makes perfect sense to look at what you're competing against. And a lot of times you're competing against a house should be selling for $650, and it's been on the market over a year, and the result of that is they've marked the price down to $575 or so, and people are jumping to the bigger, better buy rather than buying just what they need. And it becomes a very competitive market because the higher end of the market is moving down because prices are not going up above $600,000 and $700,000. And in a lot of times, we're losing out to a house that should be priced $100,000 more than it's selling for. But either as a seller or a buyer, negatives navigate the real estate market with me, as I'm just reading my newsletter. Low interest rates, pent-up demand, active market. My number is 908-238-0118, and I can help you understand these numbers as it pertains to you. What we would really have to do in order to price your house to sell is to take a look at your price point within your town, see how many have sold in the last year in that price point in that town, see what that rate is, and I can pretty well predict how long it's going to take you to sell your house unless you sell it at a really marked down number. And then we have to bring that house up to saleable condition. And by saleable condition, I mean a lot of times you need to get the curb appeal in place. You need to get the floors cleaned. You need to get the indoor painted. You need to get all the pictures down. You may need to paint the place. You may need to modernize a couple of baths. It depends on the shape of your house. Now, the only thing I can say about Somerset County is, other than it's to the east of us, they're in better shape than we are. They sell more houses. They sold 338 where we sold 162. They have more inventory. They have 1,460 where we have 850. And they're selling for about 20% higher. The average price, sale price in Somerset County is somewhere in the 430 range, and the average list price is in the 580 range. They're also about 24% off by the time they sell it. More active. Why is that? People in Somerset County can get to New York quicker. New York drives the market. And most of the people that are in Hunterdon County are here because when I started looking in Somerset, they couldn't find what they want. They went a little further east, west, I should say, and they found it in Somerset County, and that's where they're at. There's now a reluctance to see that happening. We're not seeing people moving to the west the way they once were. So what I want to do is go through a couple of recent articles that I put on my blog that will give you a little better understanding of these things. The first is when you go to sell your house. This is today's article. You have to sell it twice. The first time you're going to sell it is to the buyer. That's going to take, in Hunterdon County, as of last month, an average of, we call that days on market, 78 days. So somewhere right around 2.5 months. And you put the house on the market. You list it for $499. Sits there for 2 months. You don't have the activity you want. You mark it down to $479. Activity picks up. You get an offer. The offer comes in at $450. You say, they're nuts. And to a great extent, they are. It's just the start of the negotiating conversation. It settles typically for 3% off. So free time, you know, if you're at $480, you're probably going to sell it at $465 at 3% off. That is the amount of money that's going to be financed, whether you put 5% down or 20% down. If you're going for a mortgage, the bank wants that house to appraise at $480. And this is where, in effect, the house needs to be sold again, because it's not like I'm going to buy a house that's $480 and put $80 down and now it needs to appraise at $400. The house needs to appraise at $480. And we're seeing a better year this than last in the appraisal process, but the bank sends out an independent appraiser, just to be fair. They get chosen out of a pool. It can't be somebody the bank uses over and over, or a realtor or an attorney uses over and over. And that appraiser comes back, and then if the appraisal comes in under where the house is at, an adjustment has to be made. And let's say we had it sold for $465 and it comes in for $460. It's not a lot of money, but somebody has to come up with the $5,000. And many, many times I see them split it. The guy will take $462.5, and the buyer has to bring $2,500 to the table because the bank's only going to finance it at $460. Others, I see it kill the deal. Sometimes I see it not $5,000, but $30,000 or $50,000 difference. So when we sell your house, needs to be sold twice. It needs to be sold twice, and you have to be aware of that. And that comes in with pricing that makes sense up front. Your best buyers are going to look at that house in the first 4 weeks. And if you have it overpriced, then they're saying there's no way these people are going to get that price, and I'm not even going to bother making them an offer because they're dreaming. You're missing out on the best buying public that you have. And secondly, you finally get it down to where it belongs, and you move it down to $479. And now you're starting to get buyers come in. Well, these buyers are saying they haven't sold it in 45, 60, 75 days. I'm going to give them less than what they're asking today. And that's where that embarrassing first-time price comes in. But we always say an offer is better than no offer. Any offer is a good offer. We just have to start there and get it to where and that it needs to be. And that's where an experienced negotiator like your realtor, like myself, comes into play. Then we have to take a look at what is the best thing you can do in order to make your house saleable. And the four home renovations for maximum return, this is an article I published earlier in the week. First is it's curb appeal. I'll tell you the three things that people want in a house is they want curb appeal. They want the neighbors, I should say the relatives, to pull up to their new house and say, wow, it's got to have a wow factor. If it doesn't have a wow factor, it's very difficult to sell at all, much less at the price you're looking for. That includes updating the rail, landscaping, maybe getting the front doorknobs changed, a new roof, or at least wash the roof so the roof is clean. And then the second thing they're looking for inside the house is both kitchen and bathrooms to be new, and in general for the house to be clean. And that may take some painting, it may take some redecoration, it may take a stager to come in. And one of the things I offer is a complimentary staging consultation where a stager comes through and says, here's where you're going to have problems, and I'll come back and give you a proposal of how you can do it yourself, how I can do some of it, how I can do all of it. They typically give you an ABC kind of proposal. So they're looking for curb appeal. They're looking for, yeah, I could see myself living here on the inside. And then the patio deck and the backyard's important as well. This is areas that people are putting their decision. I can't tell you how many people pull up to a house that they don't see themselves showing to their friends and pull away, not get out of the car. Well, many times not even call and cancel the showing appointment. And it's devastating to the seller because a lot of times the sellers are anxious to, they're always anxious to get the feedback, and there is no feedback. They just couldn't see themselves living there. They didn't even get in the front door. So how many times I've seen sellers not get through the front door and make a decision? Sometimes it's at the curb. Sometimes it's, I've made it, but I'm going to take a quick look anyway. If the outside of the house, the landscaping, the roof, the front door, the look and feel from the curb, we call it curb appeal, doesn't suit what they're dreaming about, you're probably not going to sell them your house. Secondly, once they get in, all the things we talked about, floors, walls, kitchens, baths, they've got expectations, and it depends where they came from, where they're going that day. They may have just seen a house for the same price that had a lot more to offer than yours. Yours is off the list. They're at best, if they're going to look at six or eight houses today, have a number one and a possible number two. You won't even make, if you don't make that short list, you're not on the list and it's not going to be considered. And that takes an experienced realtor, somebody who's done it hundreds of times like myself, and in a lot of cases, an experienced stager. Then the next thing that comes into play, and I'm waiting for my computer to catch up with me, is the actual process of getting the house closed, because the house needs to be inspected. A lot of times the house looks good on the surface, and I always tell people shiny doorknob is a great indication, because that means somebody's taken pride of ownership throughout the house and it's going to carry throughout the house. But the house may look good, but the inspector's going to come through, and I had one where the inspector, I think he was overboard with it, but there was a point where the brick veneer in the front wasn't adhered to the house. It was sort of coming loose. We didn't see that. Only an inspector's going to find out. There was some mold. There was some possible seepage from underground. All those items are going to take remediation before the sale can go through, because the final sale has to be a house that the buyer and seller both agree is what condition it's going to be delivered in. And I see people, septics, 50% of our fall throughs are because the septic system fails, and probably 85 to 90% of all the houses in Hunterdon County have a septic. If you have a septic system that's 30 to 40 years old, you are probably pretty close to having it needing to be replaced. So rather than wait for somebody to come in and find it, you should have a preemptive inspection done, not only on your septic, but probably the whole house, and understand it up front. And that's where a realtor can sniff out those kinds of situations. I've seen three or four this year fall through just on that. Then what else can go wrong? I mean, there's seven major issues: termite, structure, HVAC, air conditioning and heat that consists of, the roof, also structure, radon, which is a gas, the septic system, the well system, the water has to have no contaminants in it or all below. It's like a blood test that has to be all in a certain level. All of that has to be remediated, or you have to let the seller, you as the seller, have to let the buyer out of the contract. If you're not willing to remediate it, he has the right to cancel. And that's what will happen. So you cannot put lipstick on a pig. If you've got a house that needs remediation, it's going to be found out, and you're going to have to remediate it before you come out of inspection with an okay, let's move on, or the sale's going to fall through. So it's got to appraise, it's got to inspect, and then there's a whole bunch of processes, and it takes 6 weeks or so from the point we're done with inspections to the point where we can close that have to fall into place. The buyer has to get the mortgage approved and get a commitment. His credit and all his debt get checked again, including employment, 3 days before the close on the transaction. A lot of times we see a buyer feel very comfortable and go out and buy a new car as well. And my God, now your debt is out of proportion. we tell buyers, do not buy anything. Don't even buy a pack of cigarettes until this house is closed. We don't want to foul up that debt-to-earnings proportion. So there's a lot to be considered. But the one thing I can say is if you're under 500, you're in a seller's market. We have more buyers than sellers. If you're over 500, it depends where you are over 500. If you're way up in a 7s or 8s, you're in a challenging market. And you're in a 5s and 6s, we've got a semi-active market. That's usually where the executives moving in or out of town are living. If you're over a million, there's always a market up there, but we just don't sell a lot of houses over $1 million. For example, last month, and I'm just talking Hunterdon County, last month over $1 million, I believe we sold 2 houses. Let me look the number up to be exact. Yep, over $1 million, 2 houses. We have 65 houses on the market, so if you divide 2 into 65, we've got 33 months supply. That means the average sale is going to take almost 3 years to closing. People aren't thinking that way when they list their house. You need an experienced realtor, both from pricing viewpoint, if you're going to list it, or from negotiating viewpoint, if you're going to make an offer. Because what I have to do as a buyer's agent is go out and look at that house as if I was going to list it and say, here's where it should sell at. And then we have to put together an offer strategy that makes that work. This is Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker, and I service all of Hunterdon and Somerset County. What I am going to do is play my introduction commercial one more time, and I'll be back to say goodbye.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Once again, this is Joe Peters of Coldwell Banker. I appreciate you tuning in today. We're going to be on again next week with a 55-plus subject matter, which will be near and dear to our seniors. That's my alternate show, being a 55-pluser myself. It's a subject that I'd like to share my experiences with to help people that are going through that process. So I will see you again next Tuesday at 4 p.m., and I thank you for tuning in.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
It's a fantastic bill for the middle class. It's a fantastic bill for jobs and for companies wanting to bring back massive amounts of money into our country.
President Trump with a very optimistic tone earlier today at the White House. The president once again hoping to have that bill on his desk before Christmas. We also hear from the president as far as why the bill went back to committee.
We had a choice. We could have gone directly for a vote, and we decided that let's put it into the conference and let's come out with something where everything is perfecto.
Quite the sad situation in Southern California as wildfires have picked up due to the Santa Ana winds. Los Angeles Fire Chief Charlie Beck says be on the lookout for more fires as the winds continue.
As the fire chiefs have said, as the mayor has talked about, this is going to be a multi-day event. This will not be the only fire.